It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the alarming rate at which heroin addiction has grown in our region. Some addicts are seeking an inexpensive way to treat their pain. So what does it take for someone addicted to heroin and other opiates to get treatment? I'm joined now in studio by Sarah Younger. She's a Greensburg drug and alcohol counselor. Sarah Younger, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul. I'm excited to be here to be able to share about this because it's very important to me. I've been working in drug and alcohol for about 5 years and have experienced a lot of people dying from this epidemic. And it's very exciting to be able to share about this silent killer and be able to get the word out there about treatment.
Well, you said in a recent article for the Tribune Review that you were quoted as saying that heroin is not a behavioral issue. Why is that?
A lot of people tend to think that heroin addicts are just typically bad people because everyone does know that heroin is bad. It's something we grow up hearing all the time. But the truth of the matter is, many addicts who get started in opiates, many people who get started in heroin typically first get started in opiates. I know very few that started with heroin. It's just a cheaper version of opiates, which it comes down to. But most of them start with a legitimate physical health issue where they were overprescribed by doctors. Many have a co-occurring mental illness. Many people have experienced horrible traumas in their life. If you think about the purpose of an opiate, it's to numb pain. That works for physical and emotional pain. And a lot of times when people experience with an opiate, they get to understand that, oh, wow, this is actually numbing that pain. It makes me feel somewhat normal. Then if you have an addictive gene, if you have
Well, we've had people call in today and say, well, I didn't get addicted. And then, you know, another woman who said I threw the medication away because I was afraid that I would. So a lot of times it doesn't come down to any particular, you know, not to take any credit away from someone who avoids becoming addicted, but it really comes down to your chemistry, your body chemistry, correct?
I think that it comes down to a lot of things, but mostly your background genetically and your environment. I don't think that it's a game of personal responsibility, like, oh, I was more responsible. I think most people, I hate to generalize, have experienced at some point with alcohol or minor drugs. And nowadays, Oxycontin and pills and such like that. And it's really this giant game of Russian roulette that we all play whenever we experience with a substance that if you have this genetic background, you will become addicted. And the thing with opiates is opiates do reform your brain. And so even if you don't have this necessary genetic connection already, it can actually turn into an addiction the longer you're on it. But some people immediately, you know, it's just the bullet goes off.
So how do you treat someone with a heroin addiction?
There are many roads to recovery. It's very hard to treat, and sometimes it can take 10, 20 times in treatment for someone to get it, and that's why people get so frustrated with it. But it's really depending on the person, how long they've been addicted. We look at different levels of treatment. What a client would begin to do is they would get an evaluation. And a lot of times these evaluations become available to people when they're in jail. It doesn't need to get that far. There are resources available. Someone would call their drug and alcohol commission of their county, get set up with a place that will give you a evaluation to see what level of care you need to go to. And that's when they will look at your biological, psychological, environmental factors to see if you need inpatient rehab, long-term inpatient rehab followed by a halfway house. They might say you need outpatient therapy, intensive outpatient therapy, an all-day partial program. There's so many options of treatment, and then there's also the medicated assisted therapy that can be very beneficial for people who don't do well typically in these other forms by itself. That kind of slows down that addictive thinking and those physical withdrawal symptoms from people with post-acute withdrawal, and that helps them get better treatment.
We have a tweet from Kim on Twitter who says, this is the working person's epidemic. construction workers, police, firemen, bus drivers, etc. It's everywhere. I guess it's hard to disagree with that. We're just about out of time, but I'll let you take a few seconds here just to react to that tweet.
I think that's completely true because most of the people I work with do start with a physical, legitimate pain issue, and they become addicted to their medication. So if you are in the kind of a form of work where you can get hurt, such as construction workers, diesel mechanics, anything like that, you're going to get hurt. They're going to prescribe you pain medicine almost always, and that can lead to an addiction.
We will continue this conversation with Sarah Younger, a Greensburg drug and alcohol counselor, off the air and post it online at WESA.FM. So you can go out to our website at WESA.FM later today and hear the rest of the conversation. In the meantime, thank you for joining us, Sarah Younger.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of the program or would like to revisit past segments, again, go to our website at WESA.FM. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying so long for now. And now the rest of our conversation with Sarah Younger, a drug and addiction counselor who is based in Greensburg. I'm curious how long you've been treating people for addiction.
I've been working with people in addiction for 5 years. I started working in mental health, but dealt with a lot of addiction there. Then I went to work in medicated assisted therapy, and then I went to work in outpatient therapy and worked with a lot of people on Suboxone, and then did court-ordered therapy for about 2 years, and now I'm working with methadone and Suboxone. I'm in outpatient drug and alcohol treatment. So quite a while.
And how much support or help do you need from families? If someone is addicted to heroin and they may be getting help from someone like you, but if they don't have a support group outside of the treatment, does that make your job more difficult?
Absolutely. And I can tell you that typically by the time someone gets sent to treatment, especially when it is more court ordered or a higher level of care, it's gotten to the point where their addiction has at some point ruined relationships due to lying or stealing or just messing up in the eyes of their family because they don't know how to look at it. Having that support is everything. Just like someone with other diseases such as cancer needs support from friends and family to beat their disease, people need support in addiction as well. It's a very difficult thing to change. And the support of family is important. I think the way that that needs to start, first of all, is becoming educated. Not very many people know about addiction, but the truth of the matter is if you have a family member or a loved one struggling with addiction, become versed in it. Look it up. Go to support meetings, just like addicts go to 12-step programs or Celebrate Recovery. They do have programs for loved ones of addiction, such as Al-Anon or Nar-Anon, or local community groups, such as the one I'm involved in, Sages Army in Westmoreland County.
How much does the stigma attached to addiction contribute to the problem? For example, someone maybe being reluctant to accept help because they don't want anyone to know that they're addicted.
All the time. That's probably one of the biggest issues in addiction. No one wants to have that negative self-image about that negative image about themselves. Even if you look at the articles that are in the paper with the blogs that are attached to them, people say horrible things about addicts. Why would you openly want to admit to that being done? But just like in the past with cancer or HIV, people being quiet makes, you know, people not seek treatment. And therefore, in this case, this is a deadly disease if left untreated.
Has America done enough? Has the country, you know, let alone the city of Pittsburgh or Allegheny County, have government entities done enough to combat this?
In the past, no. But I think that goes back to looking at the behavioral problem versus looking at it as a disease in which it's proven to be. I think this year we have seen so many changes, so many positive steps, but there's still so far to go.
Is society getting the message at least about this, that as you say, it's like it's a disease. It's not, this is not some loser behaving badly. This is a human being that has a problem that may be through no fault of his or her own.
I think to a point, people do tend to see that when it is a loved one that they can see when they notice the struggle that they face to get clean. I do think it is the responsibility of people in recovery to voice what has worked for them. And just like that caller who had called in earlier and stated he was in recovery from his addiction, that's so brave to do, to take that step and say that, because they're heroes fighting a war by themselves where they don't have the support. We need to know what worked for you. We need to know that you are in recovery, where you came from, the depths of what you did in your addiction to where you are now. Because truth of the matter is when someone's in addiction, as that progresses, it gets very hard to hide. A lot of times people can be functioning addicts, but at some point people are going to know that you're an addict, whether they see your withdrawal symptoms or they see that you've broken a law to get your drugs, or that you've stolen from them or lying. You will get caught with your addiction at some point, or because you died. In recovery, people are so hush-hush because they want to be looked at as a normal functioning member of society. But really, we need to recognize the heroism that comes with being a person in recovery. That is such an incredible thing that is so hard to accomplish. We need to give thanks for people sharing these things and appreciate them for, you know, coming out like that. That's huge.
Senator Bob Casey, one of our Pennsylvania U.S. senators, supports a couple of bills, the Recovery Enhancement for Addiction Treatment Act, or TREAT Act, and the Treatment and Recovery Act. And he has told reporters, he has said that the bills would increase the number of healthcare providers who can treat addicts and increase funding for prevention and treatment programs. How much will this help?
It will help tremendously. Right now, there is a waiting list. A waiting list for beds and for treatment. And because of this, people are dying. People are being forced to detox in jail or at home when they can pick up their phone. If you're in your bedroom and you're detoxing and you feel so incredibly sick, which I want to add is why most people continue to use drugs, is that sickness is so overwhelming and awful. When you get to that point, you can pick up your phone and call someone and they can bring you something. It's harder to do that when you're in treatment. People stick it out when they're in treatment. Detoxing by yourself is rare. But the waiting list is outrageous. I spoke to a friend of mine who gets people treatment, and she was telling me right now some places to get into long-term rehab, which is the recommended amount by a lot of recovery institutes, late January. Mm. So with someone who, you know, is really...
What's somebody supposed to do in the meantime?
Just stop. Just like that's what people say. You know, that's what people who don't understand addiction, just stop using. But truthfully, I mean, they're almost being forced to continue to use or hopefully, you know, get arrested or get into some program where they can be taken away from their drug, at least momentarily. Not saying that drugs aren't in the prison system, because they are, but at least it's harder to get. And I do not believe jail is treatment, but I do believe full-heartedly that if that's going to stop someone from dying, I would much rather see someone in jail than dead. I've seen too many people die, and they don't need to. They don't need to go to jail either, though, but we need to do our part about, you know, providing services for people, because the truth of the matter is the legal system isn't going to wait to arrest you. If they'll get you in right away. So why aren't we doing that? On the treatment side, we can get you in.
Sarah Younger is a Greensburg drug and alcohol counselor, joining us here on a program that has been devoted entirely to the story of the growth in those addicted to heroin and those dying from the use of heroin in Western Pennsylvania. Sarah Younger, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.